Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Bill felt like he had earned the Father of the Year award. He had secured terrific seats for the baseball game, and he was taking his 4-year-old son, Mark. He had even bought him a team cap and a plastic bat and glove. It was around the third inning when things began to go wrong. Mark had downed 2 whole sodas as well as a hot dog and taken 2 trips to the bathroom, lost his bat, and now refused to sit in his seat, blocking the view of some disgruntled fans behind him. "Daddy," he began to whine, "can't we go home now? I don't like it here." Maybe the awards people should just hold on to their medal for a while. From a parent's perspective, what should we know about child development? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Today, we are happy to have as our guest someone who is both a child development expert and an experienced parent. Nancy Seibel is director of 0-3's Center for Program Excellence. She provides consultation and training for programs that serve infants, toddlers, and their families. She has 2 teenage sons. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Nancy.
Thank you for inviting me.
Why is it so important for all of us to know something about how children develop?
Well, I think that we can all do something to build a better world. We can make a difference for a baby, for a toddler, or for their families, and that's a very immediate and very profound way to have an impact. Each of us has the power to make a difference in children's lives.
Well, when we come across, when adults, for example, on a bus or someplace else, come across a kid who's fussy or who's wiggly or something, is it more helpful for the adult to know, well, a 2-year-old is fussy and wiggly, and not to let it get you bent out of shape?
Well, it can help us in handling our own feelings when we're in a situation like that, and it can also help us help the parent who's coping with the fussy baby. We can smile, we can talk about how hard it is taking a baby out on a bus, and we can offer help.
Or taking a baby or a young child to a baseball game?
As in your story. Yeah. It's not easy being a parent, and there are things we all can do to support parents and make life better for them and for their very young children.
There's a wonderful, funny book out called Sleeping Through the Night and Other Lies. The author tells a story about having a child in a supermarket and how every person over the age of 65 is willing to come over and tell you what you should be doing for that child and how that child could be behaving better and so forth. And so it's the kind of thing, I guess, whatever generation we're in, we have to sort of know what the expectation should be. Can you tell us a little bit about your organization, 0-3, and about the survey that you've produced about what we should know about child development?
Well, 0-3 was started over 25 years ago by a group of experts interested in the very earliest years of life. And our mission is to promote the healthy growth of infants and toddlers by supporting their families, communities, and the professionals who work with them. And the survey that you mentioned was developed in collaboration with Civitas and 0-3. It was supported by the Brio Corporation and the A.L. Mailman Family Foundation. What DYG did was to conduct 3,000 telephone interviews, and they used a representative national sample of mothers, fathers, and legal guardians of young children under 36 months old. And they also talked to adults who are not parents and adults who expect to be parents soon. And what we were interested in learning with this survey is to find out what adults understand about young children's development.
Nancy, what were some of the more striking findings that came out of this report?
We learned a lot of interesting things with this survey. We learned about the things that adults know quite a bit about and are pretty well informed about, and we were able to identify some of the things that there's some confusion and less understanding about. Some of the things that adults do understand about children's development include their physical development. They understand that brain development can be impacted prenatally and from the very first moments of life. Adults recognize that the experiences that children have in the earliest years of life have a major impact on their abilities that appear later on in life. And it's clear to adults that there's a very strong relationship between emotional closeness for young children and the development of their ability to learn and to succeed in school and later on in life. And adults realize that children need time to form bonds with their caregivers, and that constant change of caregivers can have a negative effect on children.
Adults do understand that.
The way children learn is not as clear to adults. Sometimes there's more emphasis on things like flashcards or educational TV or games that children might play alone on computers. And that turns out to be less important to children's learning than things like their parents' own interactions with their children, talking to them and reading to them and helping them to feel safe and secure.
I think that's a major finding.
Mm-hmm. That's a very important one, I think a very reassuring one for parents.
We don't need to have the latest gadgets. We are the latest gadgets.
Exactly. Well, think of a baby who's babbling and making its first sounds. He says, ba, ba, ba. Now, how, as a parent or a caregiver, could you stimulate further language development? You could use the baby's sounds and you could build on them. You can say, ba, 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 too. And soon you might be having an animated conversation with this baby, consisting of ba, 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 da, 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 ma, ma, ma. And you help stimulate your baby's interest in language by talking to him in full sentences. Oh, you want me to give you this toy? Look at this block. You're putting another block on top of it. Wow, good job. So in that simple interaction, your baby's learning about language, about social interaction, about mastery, and the feeling of accomplishment.
That's a lot of stuff for a small little piece of time, isn't it?
And it comes out in the natural ways that parents and caregivers interact with young children.
This is even better than the one-minute manager, right?
That's right. That's the magic of everyday moments. And then there's some confusion about spoiling and discipline. These are areas that all parents are very concerned about. And there's some worry that young children can be spoiled, maybe by picking up babies whenever they cry or by letting a restless two-year-old get down from the dinner table. A majority of adults believe that spanking is an appropriate form of punishment, and 37% believe it's okay to regularly spank children under 2 years old.
Were you surprised by that?
I wouldn't say I was surprised, because I think that there's a lot of ideas and beliefs about physical punishment. And one of the things that parents can begin to learn to help their children grow up in a way that's healthy and that they're reaching their fullest potential is to think about discipline strategies and what those strategies that they select teach their children. When adults spank, they're probably trying to teach control and appropriate behavior, and they might not be thinking about the way that might encourage children to become more aggressive themselves or to become violent when they're frustrated. And parents don't want those kinds of outcomes for their kids. And so, you know, it is important to be firm with children and to be able to set limits and have clear guidance. And there are ways to do that without needing to use spanking.
It seems like such a typical example of how we teach by example. If you teach your child by spanking your child, you're really teaching the child to behave that way, as opposed to doing something more constructive that teaches the child not to hit.
Well, it's also interesting. We talk about violence and so forth, but it's interesting that we use spanking to show a child that we need to control a situation physically, so that to have control over a situation, there needs to be a physical component. And we're a nation of very physical people. It's sort of interesting.
Yeah, well, I think your comments talk about the importance of being an example to your children of the kind of behavior you're hoping for them to learn. And the way you children watch us very closely and learn a lot from what we do. So I think those are good points.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion of what adults expect of children.
The excellent new book, Parents as Mentors, by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is a practical guide to bringing out the abilities in your child. Parents as Mentors is available at all bookstores.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. Today we are talking with Nancy Seibel about what we adults expect of children.
Many adults are incorrectly thinking that working parents can't develop the same kind of close bond with their children that stay-at-home parents can. And the research shows us that that's not the case at all, and that parents who are working outside of the home can form bonds and attachments that are just as close with their children as parents who stay at home.
That's reassuring to a lot of young parents today, I'm sure.
In the survey, you make a distinction between babies, for example, under 18 months, and young children in their capacity to grieve, to be depressed, to share their toys, to tune into what's going on around them, a number of things. What should adults know about the capacities of babies?
Babies have all kinds of capacities from the moment they're born, and I think that's one of the most exciting things about having a baby of your own or working with babies. They're capable of learning through play from the very first days and months of life. They're capable of learning and growing through interactions with adults that include safety and security, reading to them, talking to them, eating healthy foods, and receiving quality care. Very young babies can sense and be affected by the moods of others around them. And babies as young as 4 months old can become depressed. Children as young as 6 months old can suffer long-term effects from witnessing violence. Very young infants recognize and respond to both parents from the first moments of life.
That's sort of a bombshell that babies as young as 4 months old can be depressed. Can you clarify that a little bit? I know parents are probably sitting out there going, what? What?
Well, I think that when very young children become depressed, it would generally be in response to some situation in their lives. And it's possible that if there's been an important loss, the death of a parent or the leaving of an important caregiver as examples, that a child could withdraw, look sad, not be interested in eating, not seem to interact very much. And people who take care of and work with babies or parents can kind of look for those things and be aware that they could be signs of depression, they can be signs of other things as well, but that these are things to tune into and respond to if they're seen.
Nancy, what about the importance of play for all ages of kids? What do adults need to know about play?
Well, I think adults realize that with children 3 to 5 or so, that play is really the way children learn. And it's also true earlier in life, from the very beginning of life. Babies are learning about the world around them through play. And play is not only teaching them social interaction, which it does do, but it stimulates cognitive development, so it helps prepare them to succeed in school. It stimulates language development. And think about something even as simple as playing peekaboo with a baby. When you hide your eyes and you pull your hands down and you go peekaboo and your baby laughs, what's happening? Baby's learning that just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's gone away. So that's an important concept. And the baby learns to feel the excitement building up in the course of playing this game and be able to manage those feelings and respond appropriately with another and have a social interaction. The baby learns that she's a fun person to be with and this adult wants to take the time to play and interact. So that really builds one's self-concept, and that's important to later learning and social and emotional growth and development. You can see how the ideas and the concepts and the social skills that we start using in infancy are ones that we use throughout our lives.
You've given some attention to the concept of spoiling in your survey and the idea that there seems to be a generation gap in behaviors where we could spoil a child. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. Well, there does seem to be some difference that we can see between what grandparents think about how babies get spoiled and what parents think. And our survey showed 88% of grandparents felt that if you picked up a 3-year-old every time he or she cried, that that child would become spoiled. And about 44% of parents felt that that was the case. It's a really important thing to think about what grandparents believe as well as what parents believe, because where do we turn when we need help? Right? Parents might turn to one another. They might turn to their own parents. They might turn to family and friends. So grandparents are important sources of information. And there has been this idea in our culture that you can spoil a baby by picking them up every time they cry. And I think the worry about spoiling comes from the fact that nobody wants to raise a child that's obnoxious, that you don't want to be around, and we want to teach them appropriate social behavior. I'm going to ask you for a minute to just picture a 2-month-old baby. And let's say that baby becomes lonely or sad or hungry or irritated by a wet diaper, or can't fall asleep or is feeling overstimulated, how's that baby going to let you know?
They have to cry, don't they?
They kind of don't have too many choices besides crying. So when they start to cry and an adult comes to pick them up and see what's the matter and talks to them softly and begins that sort of attempt to experiment and figure out, well, are you hungry? Do you need your diaper changed? Do you want me to sing to you? Are you just going to cry and cry until you feel better? What is it? That baby learns a lot of very important things for their own healthy growth and development. That baby learns when I need something, somebody comes to take care of me. There's a safe and consistent world that I can trust. I'm important. I can have an impact on what's going on around me. And when I don't feel good, somebody will try to do something about it. So those are important things to learn when you think about when you feel good about yourself and the world around you, you sort of do your best in life. You know, that sets you up to be able to. And then you think of a different experience a baby could have, crying because he's very, very hungry and nobody comes. Gee, what do you learn then? You know, and that could be the very experience that leads you to become an angrier, more aggressive child as you're growing up, exactly what we don't want, right? Exactly what we're trying to not have happen. So I just think it's important to know that we don't have to worry about spoiling babies and young children by responding to them when they cry, and that children's growth and development actually is harmed when we're not able to tune into their developmental needs in the way that they let us know about those needs. But just imagine for a minute that you're an impulse-ridden two-year-old. It's kind of hard for adults to picture what this feels like, but you do know what it's like to have a powerful impulse. Many of us have had the experience of being on a diet and knowing that we can't have our favorite treats if we want to get back into our skinny jeans. And what happens to you one day if a friend shows up and brings your favorite chocolate cake from the best bakery in town and they leave it at your house? You might spend that whole day promising yourself, I will not touch that. I'm not going to eat that cake. And you walk by it all day long and you never have a bite. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, you find yourself with crumbs all over your face and down your pajamas and you've somehow eaten half the cake. Well, every moment of every day is filled with powerful temptations like that for toddlers. It's really hard on them to hear us say no all day long or to be made to sit when everything in them is just yearning to run free. So when we can do so safely, it makes sense to let toddlers do what they most need to do and want to do. When we force them to stay still and sit at the table, they're not learning manners at that point. The lesson for them is that big people can make me do things I don't want to do, and it feels like to them like they're not being respected or understood.
What does this report reveal about what future or expectant parents need to know?
Well, we found that future parents sort of had more confusion in general about all the areas of children's development than people who are parents or grandparents. And I guess that's natural enough. You learn more about all of this as you go. And even though the information may be out there, you may not take it in the same way before you're a parent. But it really does show that it's important to have good resources for future parents. And it's important that the people that future and new parents turn to know how to help them think about the developmental needs of their children.
We'll take a short break and be right back to finish our discussion of what adults expect of children.
For an audio cassette copy of any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parent's Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. Today, we are talking with Nancy Seibel about what we adults expect of children.
Is there a role for our local or national government as a result of your findings?
I think there's a lot of things that local governments, state governments, national governments, and employers can do to support babies and their families. In our survey, parents really expressed the importance to them of family leave policies and paid parental leave. And there was overwhelming support for it. 88% of parents responded that that would be an important support for them.
Here in Washington, we should be saying, Congress, are you listening? Mm-hmm.
Another thing that parents feel strongly about is that they need financial help to help them obtain quality care for their children. So I think that our government can look at those issues and others that support families in doing their best in raising their young children.
And this is something that I guess we have to change our societal position on, because caregivers for young children are at the bottom almost of the financial ladder. So who's going to go into this job? So we really need to make that a more high status job altogether.
Nancy, how can parents obtain a copy of 0 to 3's survey, What Grownups Understand About Child Development?
Well, there's two ways parents can get a copy of this. One is to go online to our website, and that's www.0to3.org. You write out the word 0 to 3, no spaces between the words, and then .org. And it's possible to download the executive summary of the survey. If you'd like a printed and bound copy, you can contact 0 to 3 by calling 202-638-1144.
Can you say that again, in case people are running to get a pencil right away?
I'll do that. It's 202-638-1144.
And that's the Washington, D.C. number.
That's a Washington, D.C. number. Anyone who's interested in this survey or other publications available through 0 to 3 can call our 800 number as well. And that's 1-800-899-4301.
You want to repeat that?
If you're still looking for that pencil, the number is 1-800-899-4301.
Nancy, what other resources can you suggest for parents who are now realizing, oh my goodness, I didn't know about this, I didn't know about that, how can I get information?
Well, there are a lot of good materials available for parents. One of the publications that we're really excited about at 0 to 3 is our first publication for parents. It's called Learning and Growing Together, and it's about understanding and supporting your child's development. And to find out about getting a copy of this book, visiting our website is one way. In order to get a copy of this book, parents can visit our website, www.0to3.org. And to order publications, you can call 1-800-899-4301. Another really interesting publication is called The Magic of Everyday Moments, and it's a series of small and easy-to-read booklets that have great information about how to use the everyday situations that you have with your children, feeding them, playing with them, dressing them, all the things that happen in a routine way to stimulate their growth and development. This was developed together with the Johnson & Johnson Pediatric Institute in 0 to 3, and it can be ordered for free by calling 1-877-565-5465.
You want to give that again?
To order The Magic of Everyday Moments, you can call 1-877-565-5465.
Now, that's a whole series of several booklets on different age groups, and you get the whole series when you call and ask.
That's right.
Free.
That's right.
Great.
Now, parents visiting our website will find that there's a section especially for parents, and that they can look up information about other resources. They can look at tips of the week that talk about typical parenting questions and issues. And I would encourage anyone who's curious about that to take a look at our website.
Okay. You can have people running right to their computers immediately. Well, we're especially fortunate, even without a computer, to have had Nancy Seibel with us today to share her experience and expertise about what adults expect of children. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Parents as Mentors. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And tell us what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning in from. Parents as Mentors is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about us and our book, Parents as Mentors, visit our website through our shortcut address, http://i.am/parentsperspective. You'll notice there are no W's in our address. http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Bird and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.